I want to draw your attention to a couple of verses of Scripture found in the book of Proverbs. We are continuing our series of studies in the Proverbs under the title Pearls in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17, and then the 18th chapter and verse 24 are the two verses that I wish to particularly focus on. Proverbs 17, verse 17. It says there, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." And then chapter 18, verse 24 records, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." It was Cicero who said, "Friendship is the only thing in the world concerning the usefulness of which all mankind are agreed." Friendship. And it is very true, we know it by experience, that man is a social being. The human heart craves for friendship, for those to whom it can confide its innermost thoughts, and to whom it can resort for sympathy and help in times of trouble. We all like to have friends. We all want to enjoy friendship. Now, in the book of Proverbs, a book of wisdom, there is quite a lot said about the subject of friends and friendship. The scripture here shows us the way to make friends. We know that there are others who will tell us how to win friends and influence people, but the scripture tells us the real way to make friends, true friends, good friends. But it also tells us about the way to separate friends and to break the bonds of friendship. In this book, we could say true friendship is extolled and false friendship is exposed. Two of the most prominent texts in the book in referring to the matter of friends and friendship are those that we have just been reading. "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Here and in several other verses in the book, we discover a comprehensive doctrine of Christian friendship. And I want to examine the subject under three simple heads. In the Proverbs, we note, first of all, that friendship is expounded. Friendship is expounded in this book. There is important counsel on the matter of making friends and preserving and promoting true friendship. There are some general statements that are made about friendship. For example, in chapter 18 and verse 24, it says that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. There has to be love shown as well as love received. True friendship is never one-way traffic. Selfishness is the antithesis of true friendship. And I think sometimes those who complain that others are unfriendly are not friendly themselves. It's like the man I heard of one time in a church who complained that another gentleman in the church had not spoken to him for 20 years. And when the pastor asked him, "Well, have you sought to speak to him?" He said, "Well, no." Well, there you are. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And then, of course, there's chapter 27, and there's a lot there in that chapter. You may have noted, as we had our Bible reading, about friends and friendship. Chapter 27, verse 17, gives us a wonderful statement concerning the great benefit of true friendship. What does it say? "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." And there's the benefit of good fellowship. And Christians have always found it so, haven't they? That there's blessing, that there's benefit in rich communion and fellowship with those of like precious faith. It's good to be among the people of God. And we need each other's company. The illustration was once given of the coal fire, which was a very common analogy for me to think about growing up, for that's what we had in our home to heat the home, a coal fire in the fireplace. When you have all the coals together, they feed off of one another. And they're all hot. And if you were to touch the coal, when you lift it out of the fire and touch it, you'd be burned. But if you take that one coal out of the fire and set it on the hearth for a time and go back in about half an hour or a little more, it's cold. There's no heat in it. And while all the other coals are burning one off another, that isolated coal has grown cold. And that's an illustration of companionship and friendship and fellowship. It's spiritually enriching when we commune with those who are spiritual. And of course the opposite is true. When we withdraw from the company of true believers, we cannot expect to be spiritually enriched. Iron sharpeneth iron, and strength is friend. Again, if you go back to chapter 16 of Proverbs and verse 28, we have another general statement about friendship. It says, a froward man, Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. And if you go down to chapter 17 and verse 9, it goes on from there to say, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. And we know that's true, don't we? True friendships can be damaged or even destroyed by the careless repetition of things which were spoken in private conversation but have been mischievously repeated. A whisperer separateth chief friends. And you know, it's certainly not a Christian trait in someone when he or she delights in repeating that which they know will cause harm and damage. That's what the scripture calls sowing discord among brethren. And how often, even in churches, have whisperers been responsible for separating chief friends? Friendships have been destroyed by malicious tongues. And that, of course, would include the breaking of confidences. And how careful we have to be about that. Because true friendship is based upon trust. And when that trust is lost, the friendship suffers. Now, these are all very good statements, and there are principles for life here in these verses. But there are three kinds of friendship spoken of in Proverbs that I want to show you tonight. Friendship, I say, is expounded. And the first kind of friendship that we note is foolish friendship. There are some people that are not suitable for us to have as friends. The scripture says, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And it's very important that we keep the right kind of company. It's important that we have the right kind of friends. When I was growing up, there were people that my parents did not allow me to hang about with. I just wasn't allowed to run with that crowd because they were not suitable to have as friends. And for me to be friends with them in any sort of meaningful way would have been foolish in the extreme. Chapter 22 of Proverbs, by the way, verse 24, here's what it says. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. So there are friendships that are not wise. Chapter 24 then, and verse 1 passes on this great word of advice. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. So you wouldn't want to have them as your friends. Parents will sometimes tell their children, choose your friends carefully. And that's good advice. And parents would do well to heed their own advice sometimes. Choose your friends carefully. Remember the man who was supposed to be the friend of King David? Ahithophel. Ahithophel was not the kind of friend that you would want, because he turned out to be a traitor. He was a foolish friend. So the Bible talks in Proverbs about foolish friendship. However, it also talks about fair weather friendship. Fair weather friendship. You know the kind of friendship that I'm referring to? Fair weather friends are those that I'm sure some of us have known by bitter experience. Chapter 14 of Proverbs and verse 20 says, "The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends." The rich hath many friends. And you know why rich people have many friends? That's right, because they have riches. And everybody wants a piece of what they have. Oh, rich people never have any difficulty finding people to be friendly to them. That's what the scripture says here. But these people who are friends to the rich are often fair weather friends. Because when the riches depart, they also depart. Look at chapter 19, by the way, of Proverbs. We're talking here about fair weather friends. Chapter 19, verse 4. "Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor." And then verse 6. "Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts." It's almost amusing, isn't it? How true it is. How true it is. Every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Some time ago, there was a fellow on the radio from England talking about some sort of a stately house or an estate that he has over there that he wants to give away. Even to a distant relative. This is a man who doesn't have any immediate family, and he is of a certain name, he has a certain surname, and he was advertising here in America for people with that last name to see if any of them might be interested in becoming the benefactor and taking over this great estate. Well, when he was being interviewed on the radio, it was quite amusing because he was able to tell of how many different people had contacted him. It was in the thousands, I think. Oh yes, everyone wants to be friends to him that giveth gifts. And we notice, by the way, in verse 7 of that chapter 19, "All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him?" So there's the contrast. The guy that has nothing, the friends all disappear. Where did those friends go to that were once friendly with the prodigal son? If you ever read that story, and read it carefully, you should always read the Bible carefully. And I was looking at this portion again in Luke chapter 15, where the Lord Jesus talked about this foolish young man. We call him the prodigal son. And we know the story, don't we? How that he asked his father for his part of the inheritance before the old man was dead. I think he had quite a cheek, as we would say in Ireland. He was very impertinent, asking for his part of the money before his dad was even gone. But anyhow, that's what happened. And so his father divided his living and gave him that which he asked for. Now, the Bible tells us that not many days after, Luke chapter 15, verse 13, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now notice verse 16. "And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Now how do you think it was for him when he had plenty of money? Well, we get a clue to that later in the parable, there in chapter 15 of Luke, down in verses 29 and 30, the elder brother is remonstrating with the father. "Why did you treat my younger brother so well when he came back? Is he not the waster? Is he not the guy that spent all that you gave him?" Look at verses 29 and 30. "And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." I think the implication is that the younger son did have friends, and that he had devoured his living with those friends, even with harlots. But where did those friends go to when he was there in the pig pen looking for the pig's food? Where did those friends go to? Oh, they were fair weather friends. Matthew Henry comments, that is not true friendship which is not constant. Those that are fanciful and selfish in their friendship will love no longer than their humor is pleased and their interest served. And therefore, their affections turn with the wind and change with the weather. Swallow friends that fly to you in summer but are gone in winter. Such friends there is no loss of. How true. Fair weather friendship. Men and women, fair weather friends are 10 a penny, aren't they? And so is the kind of friendship which is bought. Spurgeon talked of a purchased friend who does not last long. He says, give to a man 19 times and deny him the 20th, and he shall hate you, for his love sprang only from your gifts. The love which I could buy for gold, I would sell for dross. The friendship I could buy for pearls, I would dispense with for pebbles. It were of no value, and therefore the sooner lost, the better. And I believe that Spurgeon was speaking from bitter experience. He continued, some people use their friends as shipwrecked sailors use their rafts, as masons use scaffolding, and as gardeners use clay in grafting trees. They neglect them or fling them away whenever they have served their selfish purposes. And the Scripture speaks of this. Fair weather friendship. We know true friendship cannot be bought, nor is it sold, nor is it thrown away. But sadly, fair weather friendship is all too common. And do we not see it in the very ministry, the earthly ministry of our Lord? In John chapter 6, we read concerning the multitudes that went after Christ. Multitudes, large numbers who resorted to Him because they saw His miracles which He did on them that were diseased. And many of them were there, you know, for the loaves and the fishes. That's why they were there. They saw the miracle of the loaves. And so, the Lord said, that's why you've come to see Me. We read that in John 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek Me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. And later on in that same chapter, what do we find? The Lord speaks words that they don't like. And they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And from that time, we read John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. And Jesus was left with the 12. So instead of chapter 6 of John and verse 2, where it says a great multitude followed Him, in verse 67 we read, then said Jesus unto the 12. Fair weather friends. Was it not even seen in His true disciples after His betrayal? And how convicting are these words even to our own hearts? The Bible says in Matthew 26, verse 56, but all this was done that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook Him and fled. You know, the Lord's disciples were fair weather friends. As soon as the Lord was arrested, was taken to Pilate's judgment hall and taken out to the tree, they all ran away. Now, the first one to come back was John, because under the cross he was standing there with Jesus' mother. When it comes to that, are we not all at times fair weather friends to the Lord? But there is a genuine friendship spoken of in Proverbs, and as it is expounded here, we find not only foolish friendship and fair weather friendship, but faithful friendship. Faithful friendship. We've read of it in chapter 17, verse 17. And we also have read about it in chapter 18 and verse 24, where it speaks of a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We've read of it also in chapter 27, about how that in verse 6, there are those that are true friends, even though they wound us. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Here's true, faithful friendship. And there is, although imperfect in human beings, a genuine friendship. And we thank God for our true friends. Our true friends are trustworthy. Our true friends we could trust our lives to. And they're faithful, even when they tell us the unpalatable truth about ourselves. You know it's your friend when you've got a big dirty mark on your nose and you're going to go out to some public place and they'll say to you, by the way, there's a mark on your nose, you might want to clean that off. It's not your friend who just leaves it there. Or there might be some other embarrassing thing that's far worse that you can think of, and if someone brings it to your attention, that's your true friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Has it ever been your experience that someone has come to you and said, look, I'm telling you this as your friend. You may not like it, you may not want to hear it, but I would not be your friend if I didn't tell you this. And maybe sometimes we are rocked back on our heels a little bit, and we think, oh, how dare that person say that? But then when we stop to think about it, we realize faithful are the wounds of a friend. Remember the Apostle Paul. He asked a question, Galatians 4:16. Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? No, I'm your friend. The man who tells you the truth is your friend. And by the way, in that very epistle, he chided Peter and Barnabas for their compromise with the Judaizers. He spoke to Peter because he was to be blamed. He rebuked him. Not because he hated Peter. He loved him. And Peter actually wrote later, even as our beloved brother Paul said in his epistles. So there was no lack of love there. And it wasn't because he hated Peter and Barnabas that he chided them, but because he loved the gospel and he loved them and he was their real friend. And men and women, a true friend is always your friend. No matter what, he will still be your friend. Faithful friendship. So friendship is expounded. But I want to come to the heart of this. Because in the second place, friendship is exemplified. And I'm thinking of the words of chapter 18, verse 24, the latter part of the verse. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Friendship is exemplified. Now, some have wondered if this text is a specific and intentional prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, even if it isn't, it most certainly applies to him. And in its ultimate fulfillment, it certainly applies to him. And while there may be those that we meet very rarely, perhaps, but there are those that we meet in this life who are closer to us as friends than even a fleshy brother would be. Like David and Jonathan. They had such a closeness, such a friendship, that it surpassed the love of women, the Bible says. Yet it has to be said at the same time, as the hymn writer puts it, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. No, not one. There's not a friend that you can ever come across who will stick closer to you than Christ. And I agree with one who said of this statement in Proverbs 18:24, its full realization is only found in the love wherewith Christ loves his own. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we've been singing about him tonight. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Or, I found a friend. Oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. And many the hymns there are, many the poems there are that speak of this, that the proverb speaks of, the love of Christ as our friend. You see, in our Lord Jesus, friendship is personified. It is exemplified. We have the greatest possible example of a friend in the one who sticketh closer than a brother. Let us think about this friendship. It is a proven friendship, isn't it? Sometimes you might say to someone, well, if you're my friend, prove it. Well, the friendship of Christ is a proven friendship. The Lord has always loved His own, and He has proved His friendship in a myriad of ways. But especially, I think, does this bring before our minds the cross. It is at Calvary that we realize there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I read a story of two brothers who were in the army, and they were passing over a certain piece of ground, and the one brother was about to die. Such were the weather conditions, such were the difficult conditions that they were in, that he was at the end of his tether. And his brother was with him. And he was also fatigued and was very tired. But because of his love for the brother who looked as though he was dying, he lifted him and put him on his shoulders, put him on his back and carried him until he could go no further himself and fell down dead in the snow. But because he had been carried by this brother who gave his life, the one brother who looked as if he would have died survived. Because of the heat of his body in carrying him, it revived him and he lived. And you say, well, isn't that a wonderful illustration of the closeness of a brother? It is. It is. But how that pales into insignificance when we think about Christ. It was the Savior who said in John 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And the Lord Jesus is the sinner's friend. The hymn says, Jesus, the sinner's friend, we hide ourselves in Thee. God looks upon Thy sprinkled blood. It is our only plea. Jesus is our dearest friend, for He gave His life for us. And does it not say there in the proverb, a friend loveth at all times? Didn't we read that there in chapter 17, verse 17? A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Apply this to the love of Christ. Was there ever a point at which He did not love us? A friend loveth at all times. Doesn't the Scripture say that the Lord loved us, that He gave Himself for us, that He quickened us even when we were dead in sins? Even when we walked in a way that was contrary to His commandments, when we were rebels, when we hated Him, He loved us. Doesn't the Bible say there in John 15 and verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. Think about that statement. As the Father hath loved me, Jesus said, so have I loved you. Can we ever think of a point at which the Father did not love the Son? That's an eternal love. That's an everlasting love. That's a love without any limit. And Jesus said, that's how I have loved you. A friend loveth at all times. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 contains a wonderful statement where the Lord is speaking to His servant. And here's what He says. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, Thou hast taught me it is so. A proven friendship. How could the Lord prove His friendship to you more than He has done? We think about the Lord's table and how we remember His death, His body broken for us, His blood poured out for us in sacrifice. And we think, did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Friendship, I say, is exemplified. It's a proven friendship. I think it's also a precious friendship. Listen again to the proverb, chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And ultimately, Jesus is that brother born for adversity. Our greatest adversity was that position we were in because of the fall in Eden's garden. I can't think of any greater adversity than that. To be lost, to be undone, and to be beyond hope and beyond help. And what has the Lord done? As our great brother, He has come to deliver us and to save our souls. Oh, it's a precious friendship. But then again, there are many adversities we face along life's pathway. And in these too, the Lord is our friend. The Lord is our helper. And His friendship is precious. Does He not sympathize with us? In every trial and in every tribulation. Amid the trials that I meet. Amid the thorns that pierce our feet. There is a thought supremely sweet. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. There is not a pang that rends the heart, but the man of sorrows has a part. We read there in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Is there ever a time when you think, well, nobody knows, nobody understands, and nobody cares? Well, that's not true if you're a child of God. Because He was in all points tempted like as we are, sin apart, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a great high priest who sympathizes with us. I say again, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. There's no friend like the Lord. The hymn writer said, no other friend so keen to help you. No other friend so quick to hear. No other place to leave your burden. No other one to hear your prayer. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden He cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. It's a precious friendship. It's a proven friendship. And of course, it's a perpetual friendship. The Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. Unlike the fair weather friends that we might have known in life's experience. You know, it's funny sometimes to watch children. And you might have two little girls or two little boys or whatever it may be. And, oh, you're my best friend. And you've heard them talking. You're my best friend. And I'll never have a friend like you. Nobody else is my friend but you. And 5 minutes later, they're fussing about something. And one's taking something off the other one. And, yeah, I'm not your friend anymore. Right? That happens. And that's a childish thing. Of course, it happens even to those that are supposed to be adults. But Jesus is no fair weather friend. When He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, He means it. The Proverbs puts it like this. Chapter 18 again. I know I'm repeating myself, but deliberately so. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We read it John 13 verse 1. Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them even unto the end. Unto the end. There is a friend that is perpetual in His friendship. He is the one that loveth at all times. And therefore He will never cease to love us. It's a sad thing, but it's a fact of life that some very close friendships have been ended. Perhaps some dispute has arisen. Some offense has broken the bond. And it's sad that the friendship ends in tears. But the friendship of Jesus is unbreakable. It's perpetual. He will always be our friend. And I think we could say also that this friendship that is exemplified even in the text in chapter 18 is a perfect friendship. It's a perfect friendship. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, I don't have any brothers, but my sisters do. They sometimes used to fight with me. I know that you can't hardly imagine that being the case, but that's true, when we were little. But I always noticed something, and that is that they could fuss and fight with me, but if a third party came along, somebody from down the street, some other person came to do something to me, guess who was going to fight for me? My sisters. Because there's a bond there. Blood's thicker than water, they say. And it's true. But you know what? No matter how close, there's not a human brother or a sister, for that matter, who will stick closer to their sibling than Jesus sticks to his own. And yet the bond between brothers can be very, very great. Especially, I think that's true in twins. There's a lot of twins in our family history. And my maternal grandfather, who lived with us for many years, and his brother were identical twins. They were like two peas in a pod. They were identical twins. You know, they disagreed a lot. They were very different in their outlook. They disagreed in politics. They had so many differences. But their bond was so close and so deep. My grandfather's name was Jim, and his brother was called Sam. And we called him Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam never forgot my grandfather's birthday. And my granddad never forgot Sam's birthday. It was so amazing. Every year, like clockwork, there came that birthday card. And they were very close. Very, very close. And when my grandfather passed away, my uncle, it was like a part of him was buried that day. Very close. But listen, friends. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Scripture, we learn how that brothers, even twins, fell out with each other. Cain and Abel, who, by the way, I believe were twins, and I have very good reason for believing that. You can ask me afterwards why I believe that, if you wish. But they fell out, didn't they? One murdered the other. How about Jacob and Esau? They had a very strong quarrel, the one with the other. And Joseph's brethren were not very nice to Joseph. They sold him into slavery. But listen, one there is above all others. Oh, how he loves. His is love beyond a brother's. Oh, how he loves. Earthly friends may pain and grieve thee. One day kind, the next day leave thee. But this friend will ne'er deceive thee. Oh, how he loves. Even when we fail him, when we sin against him, when we leave him, yet he is still our friend. I was reading a beautiful piece by Andrew Bonner, the Scottish preacher, and he said of Christ, he is a friend to his people and does for them more than what the strongest earthly friendship can dictate. To a kind and constant friend, we can freely unfold the secrets of our heart and look for counsel and direction in every perplexing circumstance. With far greater freedom may the humble Christian apply for direction to the wonderful Counselor and Prince of Peace. From a kind and generous friend we expect compassion in our troubles and sympathy in our affliction. The merciful High Priest and the friend of his people is touched with the feeling of their infirmities. From a constant and kind friend we expect protection when injured and in danger. This also the gracious friend of sinners willingly imparts to all who in the exercise of faith, humility and trust betake themselves to him. From firm, constant and generous friends, we receive such supplies of good things as they can bestow when we stand in need of them. But what are all the bounties of the creature when compared with the bounty and benevolence of our gracious Lord? His divine friendship is free from those imperfections which lessen the comfort of human intimacy and attachment. A friend and a brother may withdraw their regard and prove inconstant some real or imaginary offense, some impropriety of conduct, the injurious misrepresentations of the malicious, or some scheme of self-interest may make those whom we have loved and esteemed avert their countenances from us, withdraw their intercourse, and prove false in their friendship. But this beloved of the soul continue steadfast in his love, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The best of friends or brothers on earth may not be able to administer that divine assistance or support which circumstances may require. They may be ignorant what course should be taken. They may be oppressed with poverty or laid on beds of languishing or borne down with a succession of griefs. But the compassionate Redeemer is a brother born for adversity. the best of friends and brothers may be called to stations of work and usefulness in places of the world to which we can have but little access, so that after years of happy intimacy, distance of place may interrupt the sweetest friendship and all the joys of mutual intercourse. But it is not thus with that best friend whom the text extols. Wherever his people are, he is there to bless them and to do them good. Death dissolves the sweetest friendships, but Jesus, our Redeemer and friend, is immortal and unchangeable. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. And before I finish, let me say this. Friendship is not only here in this portion expounded and exemplified, but I think also by implication at least, friendship is exhorted. Because it tells us, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And the Proverbs all over speak to our responsibility in regard to friendship. We're to be faithful in friendship. We're to be trustworthy in friendship. And we're not to be so concerned about receiving kindness as manifesting it. We need to show ourselves friendly. But especially does this apply to our relationship with Christ. Thinking again of those words of John 15, where he said, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." He went on to say, "Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you." And so the question tonight is, am I a friend to Christ? He is my friend, but am I the friend of Jesus? William Arnott, a great Scottish preacher, said, "Our best friendship is due to our best friend." Our best friendship is due to our best friend. Is Jesus our dearest friend? Because if he's such a friend to us as he is, then what manner of people should we be toward him? If he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, should we not seek to adhere to Christ, to cling to Christ, to stick close to him? Why do we not seek his company more? If we say we like to be with our friends, why do we not desire to commune with him more in prayer and in the word? Are we the friends of Christ in deed and in truth? Are we his friends? Or are we fair weather friends? Do we love the Lord at all times? Because the text that we read in verse 17 of chapter 17 says, "A friend loveth at all times." Do we love the Lord at all times? Can we say like the psalmist in Psalm 34 verse 1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Or are there times when we don't feel like praising the Lord and we don't? Oh, we should love the Lord at all times. Not just when things are going well, but even in adversity. We should cling to Christ. And as Matthew Henry said, when we haven't got the faith of assurance, we should still have the faith of adherence and cling to Christ. Soon we're going to be called away from this scene of time. Are we the friends of Christ? I read of Jonathan Edwards on his deathbed. You know, it's always interesting to read of what people said near the end. And some of President Edwards' words were recorded when he was on his deathbed. Near the end, he said, quote, "Where is Jesus of Nazareth, my old and faithful friend? I know he will be with me now that I need his help." What assurance to go out into God's eternity with those words upon your lips. "Jesus of Nazareth, my old and faithful friend." Well, we're not on our deathbeds just yet, as far as we know. But until the day when the Lord calls us, and it may be soon, let's show that we are the friends of Jesus by serving him. If it's true that a friend loveth at all times, if it's true and it is a friend there is that sticketh closer than a brother and his name is Jesus, then let us stick close to him. Let us cling to him. Let us love him at all times. Let us show that we are His friends by doing whatsoever He commands us. May the Lord help us. And may we tonight rejoice in Jesus, our dearest friend.